Band, y'all did a wonderful job. Thank you so much. This is a glorious time of worship and praise. Oh, my goodness. Well, how many of you are ready to be blessed? How many of you already been blessed? Amen. The Lord, our time for our children's church to be dismissed. They'll be going in the back and having a great time. I figured I better hurry up and say it. I'm going to miss it. Give them the opportunity. What a great day. Well, in case you didn't know, and in case you've been hiding under a rock, Johnson's going to come up this morning and give us the Word of God. He's going to talk to us about the importance, say importance, the importance of the communion and what we do it for. How many of you know sometimes we just do things for doing things' sake and we don't realize what we're doing? You know, God wants us to understand and realize the importance of communion. Say importance of communion. So if you will prepare yourself to receive. You know, that's what the worship and the praise and all that. We enter His courts with thanksgiving in our heart and into His place with praise. And that's what we're doing this morning, is preparing the ground to receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hey, are you turned on now?
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
Go for it.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Give Him a great hand. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Woo-hoo!
Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we want to thank You for another wonderful time in Your presence and for all that You have done for us.
Yes, Lord.
For the privilege that we are alive this morning. It is not because we are the perfect one. It's not because we are righteous. Not because we are good, but because You show Your mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Your Word says that You will have mercy upon whom You will have mercy. And Father, Lord God, we thank You because we have received Your mercy this morning.
Yes.
And that's why we are privileged to be alive and to be in Your presence this morning. Gracious God, we ask, O God, that You speak Your word to us this morning. Lord, arrest everything that is not of You this morning.
That's right.
Anything that will not glorify Your name,
we bind it up.
Father, arrest it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I will speak that will not come from You, Father, let it not be spoken this morning. I ask, O God, that You prepare our hearts to hear Your word and that we will go beyond being a hearer but a doer of Your word. And that Your word will profit us this morning.
Yes, Lord.
And that Your word will fulfill that which You have sent it to do in our lives this
That's
morning.
Right.
Thank You, gracious Father. For in Jesus' glorious name we are praying. And let this church say a mighty amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Once again, we want to thank the church for the privilege that we have always have to serve in this house of God. We want to thank Pastor Tyrone. We want to thank the wives. We want to thank the leadership of the church and everyone that has been so beautiful and so wonderful, even in the course of our fellowshipping in Your presence. We pray that God will strengthen our fellowship.
Yes.
He will strengthen us all. He will make us fulfill our purpose, even here on earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning, we want to look at the significance of Holy Communion. The significance of Holy Communion. I know many of us have had the privilege of partaking in the Holy Communion. And probably not many have had the privilege of knowing the full purpose of Holy Communion. So I'd like to start by creating an analogy of what communion is. So a communion, for instance, I can have a communion with my friend. I can have a communion with my wife. Partners, friends can have communion at some level. And so, if you check some dictionaries, you're going to find that it's defined as showing intimate thoughts and feelings. When there is an exchange mentally or emotionally or spiritually. Exchange, communion is like an exchange of thoughts, emotional feelings, whether physically or spiritually. There is an exchange. There is an exchange of thoughts, feelings, and emotion. There is a connection of emotion. There is an exchange between two people. Hallelujah. So at that level, that's what communion is. And exactly that is what it is spiritually.
That's right.
There is an exchange of feelings, an exchange of emotion, an exchange between a spiritual being and a physical being.
Yes, Lord. Come on.
So when you are in communion with God, there is an interaction with God.
Yes, there is.
When you are in communion with our Heavenly Father, there is an exchange, there is a flow.
Yeah.
I am telling Him the way I feel. It's like prayers. Mm-hmm. I am communicating my feelings to our God, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He's also exchanging something with me.
Yes.
He's talking back to me. That is a communion.
Yes.
It's like an agreement. It's like a covenant. We are in communion of exchange, that there is something that binds us together.
Yes.
There is a bonding. When you talk about communion, there is a bonding. So Holy Communion is a bonding between you and God. So it's not just something ordinary or just one of those rituals or traditions.
Right, right.
It's like you are saying, I'm in bond with God. As we shall see very soon. So let's quickly read some scriptures. We're going to take our text. It's going to be some kind of long reading. But I pray that you will follow and the Holy Spirit will be ministering to you even as we read this morning. It's going to be some long reading, then we're going to break down what we have read. That's the pattern for this morning's sermon. So Exodus chapter 12, from verse 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 17 and then jump straight to verse 20. Exodus chapter 12 from verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, and by the way, if I may ask, you have never heard of Moses? Can I just see you wave your hand?
Never heard of Moses?
You've never heard about Moses. All right. So, so now you know the Moses that we're talking about. So now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts, on the two doorposts, and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall not let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shalt thou eat it. You see, God is meticulous with specifications. I don't know if you are following. If you've been following, you can almost sense that God is very specific each time He talks. And He talks with detailed specifications. And all these specifications, they are not just for fun. They all have meanings, and there is a reason why God was so detailed that He gave all these instructions. Let's read on. So verse 11, and thus shalt thou eat it, even how you're going to eat it. God specified. With a belt on your waist. Can you imagine that? You want to eat, and then God said, put a belt on your waist. Isn't that strange? I thought some people, when they want to eat, they will loosen the belt. But God said, no, it's not time to loosen your belt. It's time to fasten it on. Our God is just so much a God. So with belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Can you see that? So you want to eat? God says, put on your belt. Dress up,
prepare.
Put your sandals on, have your walking stick ready. So you're probably going to hold your walking stick with the left hand, and then you just dip in your hands and eating. Watch more. We shall see. So you shall eat it how? There's no time to relax or even enjoy that meal. You have to be fast about it. All right, let's move on. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you. No matter, no manner of work shall be done on them. But that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Verse 17. So, you shall observe the feast of a living bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. And then I jump to verse 20. You shall eat nothing living in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Long passage. Let's quickly jump to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke. After the book of Luke, you find John. In case you're looking for it in your Bible. Alright. So, chapter 6, verse 35. So it's good to look at communion from Old Testament and then the New Testament so that we can have a complete understanding.
Yes.
So John chapter 6, I'm going to read from, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. One of them. And I don't want to dramatize this morning, but let's just read John chapter 6. From verse 35. I'm just going to read verse 35 and then I jump to verse 41 and then I will jump to 48 and read from 48 up to 58. So I'm going to read 35 and then next 41 and then from 48 to 58. So verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Hallelujah.
41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. They were wondering, how can this man be a bread? You're a human being. And then you said you are bread that fell from heaven. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. He said, I am the bread of life. He that eats me will never hunger. How can I eat you? Okay, let's jump to verse 48. And then Jesus repeated to them. There were a lot of arguments. If you get back home, I'd like you to just read this chapter. A lot of drama and a lot of argument back and forth. Discussions. With Jesus. But Jesus was patient, you know, explaining to them. And in verse 48, Jesus said further, I am the bread of life. Your father ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that everyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh.
Oh.
Which I shall give for the life of the world.
Yes, he did. Amen.
The Jews, listen to this. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Are we vampires? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. I'm now beginning to think they were thinking to themselves, are we witches and wizards that eat people's flesh and drink their blood? Is this man sane at all? Right. You shall have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Let me quickly say this before we conclude reading, that the communion, only communion we partake, it's a symbolism of Jesus' flesh and his blood. The bread is his flesh. Jesus is saying, you as martyrs, I am exchanging your flesh with my own flesh. Because in communion, there is an exchange. There is a bonding. So Jesus is saying, eat my flesh, be part of my body. Let me be part of your body. Let me be part of your body. You be part of my body. Drink my blood. Medically speaking, you know there is what is called blood transfusion. There is a way doctors can remove some bad blood and inject some good ones, right? Amen. So, it is not the medical doctors that started that. Jesus started that.
Yes.
Spiritually, he said, drink my blood. And you can imagine the transfusion of the blood of Jesus. That holy blood, when it comes in contact with unholy blood, it flushes out whatever that is unholy. And infused clean blood of Jesus. That's what you do when you take that communion. If you have that understanding, you know there is a blood transfusion going on each time you come for communion. There is an exchange in your flesh. There is an exchange of weakness for strength. When you take his flesh, you are simply saying every weakness is, or every weakness in my body, give way for the strength of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what you do in communion. I just quickly want to point that, because I'm not sure we may have time to get back to that, because there is something, there are some things, we cannot probably touch everything about communion in one single Sunday. It is not just possible. Because everything about communion is about Jesus himself. And I cannot see how it is possible to exhaust Jesus in one single teaching on a Sunday morning like this. So we're just going to touch a few that we can touch this morning. And I just quickly want that to sink into us. That each time I come for communion, there is an exchange and there is a blood transfusion going on.
Yes, Lord. Renewing.
There is a freshness that is being impacted each time we come for communion. So let's read on. So he said, whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood as eternal life. First and foremost, you can't be signing covenant with Jesus and still have a covenant with the devil.
Right.
So drinking the blood of Jesus and eating his flesh, is you are basically signing a covenant.
Yes. With the Lord.
With the Lord. That's what you're doing.
Amen.
That's what happens between two people when they come together in unity as husband and wife.
Right.
There are exchanges going on. That is why for some couples, after a while, they begin to look alike.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Carol.
After a while, you just I'm seeing some similarities between these two people. In character, you start seeing some kind of similarities.
Yes, yes.
Because there is an exchange. There are exchanges that are going on. You're basically signing covenant that you are bonded together. That's what happens in Holy Communion. So let's quickly finish this reading. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he who eats my flesh and drink my blood abides in me. Do you see that? It means you are hidden in Christ. You are right inside Christ.
Yes, amen.
And anything that wants to come to you has to confront Christ first.
Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good?
Anything that wants to attack you, attack your health,
mm-hmm.
attack your family,
mm-hmm.
attack your career, attack your children.
Mm-hmm.
Anything at all that dares want to attack you has to confront somebody first.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And that is Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And I cannot see how the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who is mighty in battle, can be defeated by that stuff.
That's right.
If you come with this understanding to the table each time we have communion, what you're simply saying, because Jesus himself said it, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him.
Yeah.
Can't you see that exchange? Can't you see that bonding? It is a bonding. Jesus, you are hid in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is also inside of you. Double covering.
Mm-hmm, double covering. Doubly blessed.
The inspiration that is coming to me right now is that if I am hid in Christ Jesus, so this is Christ Jesus. I am hid in Christ Jesus. And this me, inside of it, Jesus is also there.
Yes,
so it means Jesus outside, Jesus inside.
Yes, amen.
Do you know why that is? Because sometimes the devil attacks us through our thoughts from the inside.
Our thoughts from the inside. We get attacked.
So when you are bonded with Jesus, and Jesus is in you, and you are in Jesus, is a double manifestation that attacks or wards off anything that is coming both internally or externally.
Yes, whatever it is. Inside and out.
That's what it means.
Wow.
So nothing has the permission to come against you from within or from without. Let's conclude this reading. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, So he who feeds on me will live because of me.
Yes, Lord.
This is the bread which come down from heaven.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Not as your father ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Forever.
I quickly want to add this so that Jesus himself might be glorified. Mm-hmm. When he said, I am the bread, I'd like you to cast your mind back to the temptation that Jesus was confronted with in the wilderness. What was the first thing that the devil said to Jesus? Can't you make this stone bread? It's like talking to bread to make some bread from stone. Himself is already bread. And you are trying to tempt him to make bread. What other bread can be greater than someone who is already bread? He said, I am the living bread. So you came tempting the living bread to make non-living thing become bread. That's absurd. So Jesus is the bread himself. And if I may interpret it another way, what was his response to the devil? He said, man shall not live by bread alone,
but
by every word. So, living by bread can be equivalent to living by the word.
Mm-hmm.
So, which means the word itself is what?
Bread.
Bread.
Hallelujah.
That's some mathematical equivalence, right? Bread. So the word of God is bread.
Yes, it is.
And it is that word of God that is now being revealed to man. Because men have been confused in the Old Testament about the word of God.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, I am the living bread. I am the living word. Feed on me.
Yes.
When you come for only communion, it's only a symbolism that you will always feed on God's word.
Yes, it is.
Feed on Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Feed on this Bible.
The word of God. Yes.
You can't be feeding on this Bible and be an ordinary man.
That's right. There's no way.
It's not just possible.
No. You can't be in his presence.
You can't be feeding on this word of God and the devil comes with confusions and suggestions that are unholy that may jeopardize your destiny. You can't be confused because there is clarity in God's word. Now let's get back to the Old Testament where communion started from. What was the symbolism of everything that we read in the Old Testament? God was meticulous and he was given instructions. So I'm going to start this way to remind you that this point in time that we are reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, the people of God had been in bondage for close to 400 years in Egypt.
That's right.
In fact, by the time they were leaving, Bible said they had spent 430 years. They were molested by Pharaoh. That devilish king, you know what? He gave a command that whenever the Hebrews give birth to a male child, kill them. Don't let them survive. The reason was because if we keep allowing their male child grow up, one day they will rebel and kick us out of our land. So let's kill all the male. Let's start killing them. That was the commandment that went forth. And they were truly killing their males. They were oppressed, made to work hard. They were in slavery, a terrible kind of slavery. They were building, if you have ever taken tourism to Egypt, you probably still find some of those pyramids. They probably built some of those pyramids that is still standing to today. They were making them to build their country and killing all their males. And do you know what? That was exactly the same thing that happened when Jesus was born.
Yep, that's right.
Another king, King Pharaoh, said, go and kill all the men. You see, but God always had a joker. And so when God was to deliver his people, by this point in time, there have been nothing less than 9 plagues in the land of Egypt. And this king wouldn't budge. I'm not going to let you guys go.
Nope.
We will build all our pyramids. And you know what? God said, no, don't worry. I have one joker. They've been killing all your males. I will kill all their males in one night. I will do what? Kill all their males. Anyone that is firstborn, I will kill all of them in one single night. It is only that terror that can free you. Let me say this. The communion is the joker of God.
Yes, it is. Amen.
That's why when what we read in chapter 12 was the joker. God came for the first time and gave a unique instruction to Moses. You are going to do something. And that thing is that you're going to separate a lamb. Very young lamb. 1 year old. And you're going to keep that lamb separated for 14 days. After the 14th day, you will kill it. God was already talking about Jesus also as the joker for the kingdom of darkness. Just like God told them, separate that lamb, the same way God separated Jesus. No wonder he died early at age 35. Young lamb. That is Jesus. God was already speaking ahead.
Yes, he was.
To Moses, even the people of Israel in Egypt. God was already speaking.
Yes.
About another Pharaoh that is higher than this Pharaoh that they knew. And that Pharaoh is the devil.
That's right.
So God made communion the joker. Even for the kingdom of darkness. So even if the devil will not want you to be free from oppression, from all manner of sins, maybe many times you have even confessed, you try, you want to serve God, it is just impossible. I like to tell you that it is not you. It is that Pharaoh that wouldn't want to let you go. All those bad habits that many times you repented of and you still go back to them. It is that same Pharaoh, just like we read in the book of Exodus, that wouldn't want to let you go. But I tell you, there is one joker.
Oh, yes, there is. Hallelujah.
That joker is the communion. If you can just run to that communion. That joker is Jesus. That joker is waiting to liberate you. That joker is waiting to free you from the oppression of the devil. Those bad dreams and nightmares that he oppresses you with every day, every night. I tell you, the communion is that joker. So God gave instructions.
In verse 7, let's read Exodus, just to remind ourselves. We read it before. Exodus 12:7. I just want to pick them one by one, as many we can pick, before we close. Exodus 12:7.
And they shall take some of the blood. That is the blood of Jesus. That is the blood that Jesus said, drink it. Even though it was done in a different way in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus was the lamb that was slain.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, they were asked to go pick a sheep or a goat and slay it. So in the New Testament, you don't have to go pick a goat. Because Jesus had been slain. In the Old Testament, they were to go select what they think was the best. But in the New Testament, God selected it. He selected the best lamb. The one that was without blemish. He had never sinned. No sin was found in him. That is why I believe so strongly that there is no other way.
No other way.
Other than the name Jesus by which men must be saved.
Yes, amen.
Because it is only in Christianity that you have a sacrifice that is without blemish. A living sacrifice for that matter. Every other religion, check their leaders.
Yeah.
You saw the atrocities they committed.
Yeah.
But in the case of Jesus, everybody acknowledged, both believers and unbelievers, that man was without sin.
Yeah.
So how can any other God be my savior other than Jesus Christ? He was the one that was without blemish, that was slain. And God said, what is the blood meant for? In verse 7, he said, that blood is meant for your protection. Put it on the doorpost. Put it on the lintel. Let the blood cover you. Let it cover you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. When you put blood on your lintel, it is above your head.
Yes, it is.
The lintel is always above our heads in our houses.
Yes.
I have never seen a lintel that is this low. Maybe you have to call. Lintel is there so that you can walk freely, unhindered. And each time you are walking through that door, that blood signifies that it is dripping upon you.
Hello?
It signifies that you are covered. It signifies that you are protected. That's what it meant. Let's jump from there. What is the significance of Holy Communion? We began to talk about them already. It's for your covering. It's for your healing. It's for your protection. So, another one, the Holy Communion represents a preparation and readiness to leave Egypt for the promised land. How do I know that? Look at that in verse 11. That very interesting verse. And thus shall ye eat it. This is how you eat it. There is a specification for taking the communion. So this is how you eat it. With your belt on. With your sandals on. That is bringing to my memory what we read in the New Testament about what the whole armor of God. In that scripture, we talk also about the belt of what? Of salvation. Guard your loins. It's another scripture in the New Testament. Yes. So communion is preparation to leave Egypt. It is time to be free. And each time you're taking communion, know that you are leaving the old life to enter into a new life. That's why he told them, it is not time to relax and enjoy. No, that meal is meant to prepare you ready for a journey with the Lord. So each time you come for communion, what you are saying is, I am ready,
I'm getting ready
to walk with God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
I am ready to walk into my destiny. I am ready to walk into my greatness. I am ready to walk into my promised land. That's what you say each time you come for communion. That should be our mindset. That I come for communion, I am ready to walk with God. I am ready to leave Egypt and the oppression of Egypt.
Come on, let's leave it.
What you are simply saying is that I'm no longer comfortable in Egypt.
That's right. Get uncomfortable.
It is a readiness to walk with God.
Yes.
Take your staff. Forget about your old friends in Egypt. Because they may never want to let you go. So God is saying, be ready to forget those intimate friends that are still tying you back in Egypt.
Holding
you back. They will not want you to go. Those stuff. Those things that will not want you to go. God said, get ready. Put on that belt. Get set. Hold your staff. Get your sandals on and be ready to walk with me.
Yes, amen.
That's what you say.
Yes.
In time you come for communion.
Hallelujah.
Let's see another one. In verse 12, the Holy Communion is a protection for God's people and a destruction for God's enemy. I'm not sure you heard that. Mm-hmm. It's a protection for you. And a destruction. You see, it's a double-edged sword. As you take it, it protects you. But whoever is your enemy should be ready for destruction. So each time you come for communion, you don't have to be afraid of any kind of enemy.
There you go.
Because instantly, judgment is removed on your enemies. And every enemy of God, each time you come for communion. Holy Communion represents deliverance from Egypt.
Yes, Lord.
That must be honored forever. You find that in verse 14. And I just want to read 1 Corinthians so that we can close here. 1 Corinthians. Maybe I should read only verse, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 to 29. That will be the last scripture to read. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11, from verse 24. 1 Corinthians. God bless you. 1 Corinthians 11. Read it from verse 24 to 29. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this
is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. So you can see the communion is a covenant.
Yes.
In my blood, do this as often as you drink it, so you can take it many times. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me, knowing that I was slain for you. Knowing that I became your protection,
yes, you did,
outside and inside.
Yes,
knowing that I am the joker,
mm-hmm,
to the kingdom of darkness, mm-hmm, over your life.
Yes.
Knowing that I am the joker for your freedom.
Yes.
As often as you do it, always remember that. Remember it, that you have come into a covenant to walk with me. You have come into a covenant to leave Egypt, to leave that old life. You see, you can't be in covenant with God and still stay behind in Egypt. It's not possible. That is why we all must strive. If there is any old pattern of life that we have ever lived before we came to Christ, we must abandon those lives. Because it is not possible to come in covenant with Jesus, to be part of communion, and still remain in Egypt. It's not possible. Because that was not the purpose. The purpose was to get you out of Egypt. So there are many people who have professed to be born again, but they prefer to still stay back in Egypt. So Jesus is saying, it's time you come. Remember that the purpose was to take you out of Egypt. As often as you drink it, do it remembering the purpose. And now let's conclude the reading. Verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood, of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. So you could see that it was not a coincidence when God was given specific and detailed instructions in the Old Testament. There is a way to eat it.
That's right.
Even in the Old Testament. And also in the New Testament, there is a way, there is a specification.
That's right. Amen.
So whoever eats it, neglecting the specified order of eating it, the Bible says he did what? Bring judgment to himself. Not discerning the Lord's body. That's where we want to stop.
Hallelujah.
This morning, you now have a bit of the understanding of the communion. We can't exhaust it. This is just a nugget of it. But at least it shows you the purpose. It shows you that there is healing in communion. It shows you there is freedom. There is liberation from the kingdom of darkness in communion. It shows you that you can be free of any kind of sin and oppression each time you come with this understanding to partake of his body. It shows you that you are now in covenant with God. Can we rise to our feet? Let's just rise there. I don't know how you want to pray this morning.
Oh, Jesus.
Now that you have a better understanding, I say, Lord Jesus,
come on, Jesus.
Let your body and blood,
yes,
not be a waste concerning my life. Can you open your mouth? I'd like you to just open your mouth and pray that prayer this morning. I say,
Lord Jesus,
your body
and
your blood
will not be a waste
over my life. Say it out to God as many times as you want to repeat that. Just say it out to God and say, Lord, your body and your blood will not be a waste. Your sacrifice will not be a waste. Lord, free me from every oppression of the kingdom of darkness. Lord, bring me understanding. Let me have this understanding that each time I come for communion, I am liberated, I am set free. There is a transition. There is a blood transition that heals me each time I come for communion. Thank you, Father. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And lastly, you are here this morning, you want to decide for Jesus. Just raise up your hand wherever you are so that we can join you to pray. You want to decide for Jesus. You want to say, Lord, I am ready to leave Egypt. I am ready to walk with you. Now that I have this understanding, I am set to partake of your blood and your body and walk out of Egypt. So my promised land. If you are that fellow this morning, just raise up your hand wherever you are so that we can pray together. Gracious Father, we all lift our hands up to you right now. Declaring, oh Lord, that we want to walk with you. We want to walk out of the oppression of the kingdom of darkness. Because for this purpose, you died. The Bible says, for this cause, the Son of Man was manifest that he might destroy every work of the enemy. Lord, this morning, as we set our hearts, hold our staffs in our hand, and with our belts tied to our loins, and our sandals on our feet, ready to walk out of Egypt. Lord God, we pray, come by yourself and walk us out of every Egypt that is holding us bound, that is making us stagnant, that is oppressing our life. Walk us out of this Egypt, O Lord, and walk us into your promised land. Walk us into your greatness. Walk us into your presence. Walk us into your victory. Walk us into that place that you have prepared for us. Walk our spiritual life out of stagnancy and walk it into the dynamics you have designed for our lives, oh God. Thank you, gracious Father. I pray and we pray that each time we come back here and we have another privilege to partake of your body and your blood, there will be healing of diverse kinds in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we confess you as our Lord and personal Savior this morning. Let your name be glorified. And in Jesus' glorious name, we have prayed. And let the church say a resounding amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.